Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number 83 ranked sports and recreation podcast in the world. You know what it's called? It's called Cheap Heat. My name is Peter Rosenberg. I'm joined by the physically strong, the physically large, the physically intimidating, the man himself, the lawyer, the king.
Keep it going.
The Harlem representer, the delicious chicken consuming, the Bret Hart loving.
Happy birthday, by the way. Happy belated.
The Shawn Michaels disrespecting.
I'm a Shawn Michaels truther.
The Shawn Michaels truther. His name, ladies and gentlemen, once and for all, is Uptown Malcolm.
New York to the heart, but got love for all. Lie, die in the fire.
Are you going to be, are you in Harlem tonight?
Yes.
What are you doing?
SGG Takeover, tonight at 10.
Oh, right. And I have, do you want to come out first? Because I have tonight, I have to, well, by the time this airs, by the time everyone hears this.
It'll be starting or over?
You know what? Maybe I'll release today's episode and just make tomorrow a bonus. I don't know. We'll see. But Thursday night, I have to be at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Harlem from 7:30 to 9. Now, you know what they serve there?
Delicious chicken.
That is a confirmed fact. They serve delicious chicken. So if for some reason you want to pop by and hang out, I could welcome you. And if you walked in the building, I would play this. AKA the original Uptown Malcolm. But anyways, yes, I'm doing like a UFC Budweiser thing for Hot 97. So I will be at the B Dubs. What is that? 125th and Frederick Douglass?
Yeah, 125th and 8th.
Yeah. So if you want to come holler.
All right.
Come through. Hang
all
out.
Right. All right.
I kind of do need the physically strong. I don't know if I have anyone to have my back.
Oh yeah, I got your back.
It's a public appearance. So I'll buy you some delicious chicken because I probably will also partake in some delicious chicken. But I'm trying to be good, you know, trying to recover from the July 4th weekend. I was not necessarily, I was physically large this weekend.
Yeah, well, you have to, man. That's the only way.
It's the only way to celebrate America.
Yeah.
Now, do you notice that I received any color this week?
That you received color?
I received color. No, not bleeding in a wrestling match.
Right.
A slight tan.
I did not.
Damn, it's sad.
I did not.
It's, you know, you really want, particularly from your black friends, to notice. And I guess it just, I thought I looked tan.
It might be slight. I might not.
Or, you know, you just don't see race.
Or maybe.
Unless it's Harley race. Unless it's Harley race. The only race he sees is Harley. You know how SGG does. So we have a special week. Tomorrow, like I said, it'll either be on this podcast or it'll be a separate podcast. But this week, you're getting me and SGG. You're also getting my sit down with Finn Balor. And then you also get, if you're in the area, hopefully you're coming out to MSG Friday night see Finn Balor's debut, to see Shinsuke Nakamura's debut.
I can't believe neither one of them have been in the Garden yet.
Do you want to know why? SGG, I asked SGG if he wanted to get in on my order from WWE Shop yesterday, and you, of course, ordered a modern-day Maharaja t-shirt. You also ordered a NWO tank top, which to me showed that even though you're physically large, you still know that the ladies want to see more of SGG.
Yo, these scrawny arms got to get some air, too.
You know what I'm saying? Do you know why I was making an order?
Were you getting some Finn Balor merch?
No. It's close. I ordered the Shinsuke jacket.
Did you really? I like the jacket. I don't like the thing on the back, though, the logo on the back.
They always do the dumb logo on the back. But here's the thing. You know, my boy Ted, a.k.a. at Wrestling For Sale, probably my number one merch finder in the world right now, you know, he made the point, and I ordered for him, too. I got him the Finn jacket. So,
see, also with the logo on the back.
But, of course, they're going to do that, though, because, you know, it's not the same. It's not a real leather jacket. I think they're pleather, right?
Right. So, which is in now, like the faux leather or whatever.
Yeah, faux leather is kind of in right now, so that's not a big deal. But ultimately, for it to be merch that I guess carries over, they, I don't know, they wanted to have the thing instead of, if I was them, all I would do was sell the faux one, like for what they're doing, for $140.
Yeah.
And then I would sell the exact replica of his, the authentic version, for like $250. And take the thing off the back.
Yep.
And make it completely authentic.
Or like they have those, like those pins that they sell. Just put like the metal logo on the side, like where the Tommy Hilfiger logo would be, or like a Polo logo. Just make it real small. Drop it in right there.
Right.
And like a metal decal or something like that.
But I will say, I'm considering wearing the Shinsuke jacket on the kickoff show on Sunday. I'm considering going t-shirt and Shinsuke jacket. I got to see how it fits. I have no idea how nuts it'll fit. But
I think that's a good look.
Right? And I feel like, how could they be mad at me promoting the jacket?
Nope, they can't. And even if they want you in a shirt and tie, you could still throw on the Shinsuke jacket with the shirt and tie.
You know what I'm saying? It's for anyone, no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, so my boy, what I was going to say was about Ted wrestling for sale. And I have he sent me a pin for you. I'm going to give it to you. He points out, like, you know, you got to think about the merch now. It's hard to think about it that, like, that way, but that one day you're going to look back at it and be like, yo, can you believe they made that? And it's hard because now WWE shop sells so much.
Yeah.
So it's hard to think about that. But if you remember, they always sold a lot of merch. So you got to think about, like, yo, they came out with the Shinsuke jacket. That probably won't be around forever. And one day you'll be like, yo, remember when they sold his red leather jacket? At some point, this won't even be his gimmick. He may not rock the red leather jacket forever. This whole thing.
He's been rocking it for a while, though.
What's he on it for, like 3 years?
Nah, he's been rocking like the red leather since Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know it went back that far. I thought it was part of the American thing. Because the last time I watched in Japan, I feel like he showed up shirtless to the ring. By the way, well, speaking of New Japan, we'll talk some NJPW as well. But let's get into the week that was outside the ring, which of course includes, sadly, the passing of Smith Hart. After a long battle with cancer, the oldest of the Hart boys. Very heartfelt post from Bret Hart on his Instagram account, but it had been expected, but still sad nonetheless.
Yeah, especially the timing of it too. It happened
on Bret's birthday.
Yes,
that part really sucks. There's no denying that. That's terrible. So yeah, sad news. You know, and Smith is one of the Harts who, you know, people definitely talk about what a character he was. And, you know, there's certainly what people speak with a lot of humor, I think, about a lot of Smith's stories. But you could tell from Brett's message what he meant to the Hart family. So certainly sending our love out to everyone in the Hart family. Also, more bad news this week on a different level. Very disappointed to see Kenny King. I should have said spoiler alert there. Spoiler alert, if you haven't caught up on last week.
Was it like a week old, though?
It's a week old.
Yeah, it's fair. This is fair territory now.
But Kenny King has walked away from The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
After feuding with a big-time heel, this guy Lee.
Huge, huge racist, though.
Did you watch the... Did you see it?
I did see it.
And have you watched the series?
I watched this season just because Kenny was on it, and I wanted to follow his ascent. I thought he was on his way to... to like make it to the hometowns and like the final two or whatever.
Yeah, I think he could have. And then he walked away. Although so basically what happened was Kenny missed his child. And so he was weeping galore.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny was weeping up a storm, but he was feuding with this racist heel named Lee. Lee did the job.
Yeah.
Right. 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring.
Yep.
And you weren't sure the way they set it up. And, you know, they do a great job tricking you on what may happen.
Yeah, we already said spoiler alert, so I'm just going to get into it. Like, the blood, like when Kenny's eye was injured, I thought something went down with him and Lee.
They're so cheap with that. They're the worst, bro. They are so cheap.
Even with all the crying, I'm like, damn, what did Lee say?
Nothing.
To him.
It was actually quite mundane, but... He does the job in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3. And then Lee just decides, I mean, Lee, sorry, Kenny, my guy, just decides to walk away. Now, the wrestling fan in me says, though, since he didn't get eliminated.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Could he come back? 2 feet didn't hit the floor. 2 feet did not hit the floor. Or he went under the top rope, and now he's hiding under the ring. Could Kenny King still come back and win the Bachelorette? And more importantly, should WWE, if he does not win the Bachelorette, should WWE be calling him right now to take advantage of this opportunity?
Yeah, they should have already been on the phone once he was announced as, like, as a contestant. But now, especially after seeing his performance, I think they got to give him a go.
That's what I would... that's what I would hope. I would think that this would be a really good opportunity to see more of Kenny King, who's really talented, by the way.
At least NXT.
He's perfect for NXT, and then see what can happen.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you? I would just take the character. I would turn him into the Bachelor, and bring him on TV as the Bachelor,
and have him,
yeah, giving out roses to women, making a play for all the women in the company. Like, you're a contestant on The Bachelor. And they're like, I don't want to be a contestant. No, trust me. You're a contestant. He goes up to Lana. You're a contestant. She's like, what? I'm with Rusev. Doesn't matter. We'll see if you get your rose. Yeah. You know, like,
takes his rose back when he gets mad at him. Like, yeah, you don't deserve this anymore.
Yo, it's brilliant. Just call him the bat. I would. And by the way, from a wrestling standpoint, he's wrestled at big enough places many times. He really could be a guy you bring on to main roster right away. I don't think he needs a lot of brush up on doing WWE style. I think Kenny King would be good to go.
They trained him. He knows the WWE.
Yeah, he did it, right?
He was on Tough Enough.
Exactly.
He knows the style.
And then he's done, what, TNA, yep, ROH, yep. You name it, he's done it. And now he was just on Bachelorette for four or five weeks, enough where you're getting millions of eyeballs.
Pretty popular, too. It's hard to imagine that he was not a sympathetic character throughout all this Lee stuff going on. And this has been going on for a few weeks.
I really, guys, we have a hunch, you listen to the podcast, someone should be calling Kenny King. Someone should be calling Kenny King. I've wanted him to get an opportunity for a long time. I just think he's really good. But this is a really good opportunity to take advantage of someone who can really work. So that happened. And then, of course, did you read the Stephanie McMahon profile in Adweek?
I did. It was
because you're a professional.
Yeah,
and you do the job, Greg.
Of course.
You don't bring stats, but you do read articles.
Yes.
So what did we learn?
So it was interesting, right? It was a short profile, but there's a discrepancy between the one that showed up online and the one that showed up in print. And the print edition mentioned a new championship. Well, it didn't say a new championship. It said that the winner of the Mae Young Classic would receive a championship title.
What?
Yep.
So you're saying that maybe we don't know yet that that's a possibility, like there's going to be a vacancy or something?
Well, we don't know what exactly that means, because like I said, they pulled it. They either pulled it from the online edition, or they condensed it so that the online edition would take the spoiler out or whatever, but that was in the print edition. And I don't know if that means that the winner of the Mae Young Classic will get a fourth women's championship.
No.
Or if...
Or they got it wrong. They misunderstood it.
Maybe they did misunderstand it.
Or there's going to be a vacancy at some point between now and, well, it's soon.
Yeah.
It would have to be like this weekend. It would have to be like the Raw title ends up. You know what I mean? It would have to be something like that, which would be very interesting. Is Asuka's not in the Mae Young, is she?
No.
It seems hard to believe that you would put someone who's not yet in the company or not yet featured ahead of Asuka and everyone else. Seems surprising, right?
Right. And like I said, a fourth women's championship also seems very surprising. Like, I don't know why they would do that.
Real quick, and that's most of what happened outside the ring, although tell us your thoughts on NJPW this weekend.
I didn't get to watch it yet.
Oh, this is really...
If you actually think I was just the right guy at the right place at the Raw at the right time. Let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy.
Anyways,
did you get to watch any of it?
All I've seen so far was Jay Lethal and Kenny Omega, which was tremendous. But I'm a huge Jay Lethal fan, and so I was excited to see him get a chance. And, of course, Kenny Omega, we know, is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. But I have not got – that was the semifinal. I have not gotten to watch the final. There's a lot more to watch, and I – you know –
this is the U.S. Championship tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so yesterday I was just catching up. I was watching SmackDown, which I only saw like half of on Tuesday. So I was finishing SmackDown yesterday, and then I watched some of that. But I want to watch the rest of it because Kenny Omega and Jay Lethal, who I heard were not even the best, were friggin' good. I mean, listen, those guys can go. The other day I took Dipperstein down the Jay Lethal rabbit hole. He had never watched.
Really?
He had really never watched Black Machismo. And he never really seen the Flair stuff. So when I was showing it to Dipperstein, he was sitting there like, oh my God, how talented is this guy? I'm like,
very,
very,
very talented.
And there's so much. By the way, at the very least, why would he not just be so great for NXT? At the very least.
Yeah.
And then why could he not be the biggest, most popular dude in the cruiserweight division? Like, he would be... Remember when the Cruiserweight division first started getting rumored and everyone thought Jay Lethal might get a phone call?
Yeah.
And now... Although, it just dawned on me, by the way. You didn't make your notes in wrestling news that TNA was sold?
Sold to Jace. They didn't...
I thought Jeff Jarrett bought it. No? Correct me on this, then.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought they absorbed Jeff Jarrett's thing.
And changed the name?
Yeah. Because, wait, didn't they change it to Impact Wrestling? Or did they change it again?
No. Now I think it's Global Force.
Too much is happening over there.
You can't even keep up. Greg, but you know your job is supposed to be statistics and news.
But is it news that TNA made a change?
TNA rebrands as GFW, Eyes Global Expansion. That's the word. All right?
Well, will it matter?
Will it matter? We don't know. But in a move designed to distance itself from financial struggles, I don't need that, and legal drama that hung over its brand, Anthem Sports announced last week it has purchased Nashville-based Global Force Wrestling.
So there you go.
The move signals the end of TNA, the professional wrestling league that once served as a home to legends like Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, and launching pad for AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. Anthem Sports, the Canadian company that also owns the Fight Network, will rebrand its wrestling league as GFW, and Nashville native Jeff Jarrett will helm the creative aspects of the promotion. For the record, it does mean the end of the name TNA, although GFW is not good.
No.
I don't
TNA
like
wasn't that great either, but
at least we've gotten to know it. But at the same time, it's stained with the downtime of TNA.
Right.
So I don't think you can get out of that. But I will tell you, I mean, this doesn't sound like they're going away. It sounds like they're trying to get bigger. That they really think there's more of an opportunity.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's going to keep the Nashville headquarters, and it's going to be GFW.
The only good thing to come of this is that they have Jeff Jarrett, who actually knows about wrestling.
I mean, he does.
But,
he certainly does. He certainly knows about wrestling. I asked the question recently, was he ever over in anything that he ever did?
No. Yeah.
When?
He was over with his tag team with Owen Hart was over.
Okay, a little bit. Yeah,
Jarrett, the country music star, was over.
Kind of. Was it fully over?
Yeah, I'd say so. And Jeff Jarrett, right after Owen Hart died, like Jeff Jarrett, Intercontinental Champion, single star, Honky Tonk Man of Jace was over.
Single star, Honky Tonk Man of Jace, 100%. That's exactly what it was. Okay. Also, it made me realize something else I think you forgot that I just got distracted about. Oh, yeah. You're not going to mention D'Angelo Williams performing wrestling at Bound for Glory?
TNA, I'm not doing this heavy TNA stuff.
I mean, but the guy tried to hit a frog splash and completely missed the table. Did you see that?
I did not even.
Greg, what are you doing? You know you host a wrestling podcast.
I'm not watching TNA wrestling. Well, Global Force now. Or was it Global Force on Sunday? I don't even know.
But you realize that wouldn't you think that me who's under WWE's employ, I'd be the one who'd be more likely to say I'm not watching TNA. But I mean, if something, if everyone's talking about something, you have to at least peruse it.
You are the first person I've heard talk about. Well, no, I'm lying. You're the second person I heard talk about D'Angelo Williams.
I got a lot of tweets about D'Angelo Williams. I got at least a handful saying, did you see D'Angelo Williams? So I checked it out. The guy supposedly trained for 2 days. And for a guy for a guy who trained for 2 days,
he should not be trying a flux.
No, no, but he did other stuff that you'll be mind, you will be blown away by some of the other things.
Well,
he
is a football player, and like that translates somehow.
No, no, but it's like more athletic. Ring. He doesn't look like Mongo McMichael. All right, he does a few good things, but the frog.
Mongo McMichael was a United States champion.
That's right. He should be respected. But the frog splash where he completely misses the table and lands on his head is also epic. Okay, that's enough pug talk. Let's get into the week that was. It all starts with Sasha Banks and Bayley teaming up against Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss, setting up just the last little setup for Sasha and Alexa, which I'm excited about. Let's follow up from last week's conversation. Is Sasha Banks in a good spot again, or does it feel like they're just kind of putting her there as a placeholder, but it's still not like she's on and popping?
Yeah, I don't know if she should feel so comfortable in this spot. I mean, it, especially with the way things played out on Monday with Sasha looking so strong, this sets it up perfectly for an Alexa Bliss
romp.
Yep.
Well, we all agree that Alexa should go over, correct? This is not time to take anything away from Alexa Bliss. The question is, though, is it even, like, really interesting, or does Alexa just run through her? I think this is an important match for Alexa Bliss, though. I do think it is important for her to have a really, like, a meaningful pay-per-view match, especially given how bad the one at Extreme Rules was. By no fault of her own. But that match was not good. It was not an exciting Extreme Rules match. So I do think this is an important weekend for Alexa Bliss, and I do hope they have a great match.
I think they'll have a great match, but I do also think that Nia Jax is going to show up. And
it's going to be about Nia Jax, who ultimately is the one who looked strongest, and they put that over again this week.
Yeah, and I think Nia is going to have a hand in Alexa Bliss keeping the championship.
So we'll see. I mean, it makes me happy to see Sasha out there. Just can't tell if it's going through the motions.
Oh, but you skipped something, though. We didn't actually start with Sasha and Alexa.
What?
It was Enzo and Cass. Enzo.
You're right. You know what? That was the first note you had, and it's right. You're a liar. Again, stat guy Greg, the man who's here about stats, you have it above that? There it is. Sorry. The bold threw me off, SGG. The show did not start, of course, with Sasha and Bayley. That was second. Started out with Enzo. That makes more sense.
Am I still a liar, or is there?
No, that was my fault. I just buried you, but it was me. What did you think of Enzo's promo?
Excellent, man. Like, I really like the build between these two. It feels like it's happening early, but if that means that we get a lengthy storyline out of it, then I'm
doesn't
okay
it have
that
to be? Like, how could it not be a lengthy storyline?
Yeah,
these guys have been together their whole career in WWE.
Can't be a placeholder until SummerSlam. This has to be something that goes through, hopefully, their whole careers, maybe, like, you know, makeups and breakups. We'll see. But I really liked Enzo's promo.
What did you think about him ending it and then realizing he forgot a line and going back and ending it again? That's what happened, right?
I didn't realize that's what happened, but that's
well, how did you, why would he have gone back then? The music hit, he jumps out of the ring, then he runs back, the mic's clearly not on, he's like, turn my mic on, and then he hits his line, and then he's like, all right, and then jumps out. So I assume he just wanted to get that line in, and he'd forgotten to get it in, because Enzo, to that point, man, he does such a great job, you can tell, coming up with a script in his head, which I know, I can tell he mostly writes. Enzo's a great writer.
I mean, Cass Hole had to be him, right?
Probably. And but the whole line about your whole thing is a catchphrase that I wrote is so good. And then what I really enjoyed about that, and I think we don't even know yet what Enzo's capable of on mic. There's a couple things I love here. Number one, let's take a moment and in 2017, appreciate a pure baby face getting cheered and the heel getting booed. Because that's what's happening with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah.
Enzo's so over still. It's almost like, let's give credit where credit is due. I think they nailed the timing of this breakup just right. They nailed it so people were not yet sick of Enzo and Cass. Like, they still pop big for Enzo's entrance. And now that they're broken up, you're going to have people really rooting for Enzo, who's going to get his ass kicked, I'm guessing, by a really over and booed Cass. But the odds are insurmountable against Enzo.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, too. Is Enzo going to get his ass kicked? Probably, but...
But you got to love him showing up mid-interview and beating the hell out of Cass when he least expected it. Yep. I didn't expect that.
He's got heart. I didn't expect that either.
I'm excited for this. And as I said last week, and of course I'm putting it over because I'm going to be on the kickoff show and it's going to be Mage, but this is a good card. We have a good card this Sunday, kids. We have a really good card. So that's when we get to start the show. Then we get Sasha and Bayley, which we just discussed. I'm sure people just had a heart attack when they thought we wouldn't mention Enzo and Cass at all. We're not going to talk about Cedric Alexander and Noam Dar unless you want to talk about Alicia Fox.
Nope.
Okay, wow. The Miz and Heath Slater. What was the lead up to that again? Miz came TV. Out, cut a promo, did a Miz TV. He has his goons with him.
He said Dean Ambrose has been underachieving. He basically called Dean Ambrose the Jannetty of the Shield. Dean Ambrose came out, requested his Intercontinental Championship rematch. Miz declined. Heath Slater also came out and requested an Intercontinental Championship match, which Miz declined. Then Kurt Angle came out and in response to Miz saying that he's the champion and he'll decide who and when he defends the Intercontinental Championship, Kurt Angle decides that Miz should defend against both of them. I thought it was going to be a triple threat match on Sunday, but it ended up being Heath Slater on Raw and Dean Ambrose on Sunday.
I loved that Heath Slater had a few minutes where he looked Mage during that match.
Yeah, because you've been saying for years that he can really...
he can go.
He can really wrestle. He just hasn't been given too many opportunities really shine.
He can definitely go, and I was excited to see him actually get to put in some work there. And yes, on the pay-per-view, for the 9 millionth time, we will have Dean Ambrose. What number matches this stat guy, Greg? How about that? You want to dig into that stat, or do you not even have enough time during the course of a day to get that? But I'm curious to what number match this is for these two guys.
For the Intercontinental Championship especially, right?
Exactly. In a title match at that. All right, moving right along here. Seth Rollins defeats Curt Hawkins.
I did like that Goldust showed us the film that his cameraman filmed.
Oh, we finally got to see a piece of that.
That was perfect. That's all I wanted. I'm glad we got that.
They're not on the card, though. You think they'll be kickoff show?
Neville and
Tozawa
is kickoff show.
So they're still not going to put... But guess what? You will pop to see Goldust and R-Truth this Friday night at the Garden.
Oh, they're going to be there?
They're on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I know. You hoping the cameraman shows up?
The cameraman has to show up. Got to get some good shots. There needs to be a sequel to this film.
I know. I'd be very interested in that. All right, Seth Rollins beats Curt Hawkins. And then we get Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar. Did you enjoy the debate style Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar situation?
Oh, man, I loved it. And I loved Brock's attitude throughout it, even though he just finished, he had just got choked out last week, but I loved that he didn't even care. It was not a bother to him because he was still supremely confident in himself.
Don't you get the sense that Samoa Joe is truly grasping at the brass ring, if you will?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like he has a moment right now. He's going for it. Like you can sense this at the beginning when we first talked about this and people were like, oh, Samoa Joe's just getting fed to Brock Lesnar. This because of Samoa Joe has turned into much more.
Yeah. And even if he does end up losing, it would not feel like he was just being fed to Brock Lesnar, no matter how the match ends up being, because he's been made to look strong the whole way. And it's funny how they've been managing to do that. Like, he's been able to look strong, but it didn't seem to be at the expense of Brock Lesnar, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm excited for this match. I don't think there's a chance that Joe wins, but man, I'm interested to see what they have and like what kind of match we get from Brock Lesnar. Because they should be able to really go. And it's just cool this is happening. Mm. You know, I still have moments all the time when they're like, and of course, coming up, Samoa Joe. I still have moments when I'm like, I can't believe Samoa Joe's in WWE. I really do have those moments. I'm like, man, he is not in TNA. He is playing with the big boys. This is incredible.
You think he still has moments like that?
I wonder. I wonder whether he has moments that are just like a sort of pinch me moment of like, this is unbelievable. All right.
Neville!
Well, we'll skip past Neville. All right, then you have, what's his face? Who's that guy? Oh, yeah, Finn Balor. Finn Balor had a match as well against Cesaro. Hardy Boys came out there setting up more. Finally, I think we'll get, this will be the end, right? Well, you know what? We'll get to our GBOF preview in a second. Braun Strowman beats Apollo Crews. The kick felt around the world.
Oh, my God.
But I liked it. You know what?
So brutal. Yeah, I liked it, too, though.
I liked the match because I also thought it actually did make Apollo look strong.
And I like that Titus said that earlier in the night, too, when Apollo was like, I don't want to face him. Have you seen what he's been doing to people? And the first thing out of Titus's mouth was, yeah, he makes stars. You're doing the match.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
By the way, here's my question. You gave Titus and Apollo Crews main event time on Raw this week. So is anything going to happen? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they get a lot of time. What are we doing?
I think this, it's not even the Titus brand anymore. It's Titus Worldwide.
I do like that it changed already. Like it's kind of funny.
Titus expanding.
But like, are you going to do anything or are they just going to stay in the same spot? I don't quite get it. Cause like they get a lot of TV time, but it's not truly, it's slowly adding, but like, is it something going to actually happen? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it's, I think something's going to happen. I don't know exactly what.
I hope so. And then, of course, Roman Reigns sneaks out on Braun Strowman, and Roman spears Strowman off the side of the stage. Show ends. We'll get to Great Balls of Fire in 1 second.
First, we got to go to the Ace show.
Let's go to spend the. And it's funny because listen, the reason we're rushing through SmackDown this week a little bit more than Raw is just because it's a go home for a Raw pay per view, not because SmackDown wasn't better, because it was. Show starts off with the return of John Cena.
Two returns, actually.
What do you mean?
Rusev.
Sorry, you're right. I apologize. What I said was embarrassing. I should be ashamed. But the first thing
Don't be so hard on yourself.
No. I don't like that I said it. The show starts like this. We get John Cena back. Well, Greg, you're getting excited to hear this.
It's been a little while since we heard this.
And then Rusev comes back. Are you surprised? Now, first of all, let's be clear. John, he talks about being a free agent. He puts over this idea that he, you know, if his time's limited, he's going to do whatever he has to do. So you might see him on both shows. But ultimately, he didn't say that much in his return. And it sets up another match with Rusev. Are you surprised that's where they go? Is bringing Rusev back and bringing those guys back together? They have a long history already.
They do. And, but I am surprised that that's where they go first, straight out the gate. Like, pleasantly surprised because, like you said, they have a long history and they work very well together. But still surprised nonetheless. Do I think they're going to have great matches? I do.
They have good matches. I'm not worried about that part.
But I just thought that, they seem to be going in one direction. And then they went in another. And like I said, I'm not mad at Cena Rusev at all. But it did seem to be the perfect setup for Cena Owens, which we've also seen. But either way, I think they would have been.
That's what I was trying to say before, though, was that I think it's a hard spot as far as where you go. I in terms of what you were going to do to utilize Cena right away coming back. So we end up getting Rusev, which, listen, like to your point, we know will be good. So yeah. I'm not mad at that.
literally not worried about the quality of the program or the matches at all.
Yeah, no. I don't think one has to spend much time worrying about them. But it just was interesting. It just wasn't exactly what I expected from those guys at this moment. But maybe they're not they want them both back on TV and they just don't have a program yet. And also, will John Cena appear on Raw next week?
He just might. He just finished telling us that he does what he wants.
I expect to see him on both shows quite a bit, especially if they know he's back for a limited time. And at this point, I think what we're going to get Cena for is like 3 months on, 3 months off, 3 months on, 3 months off, right? So when you do have him on TV, you got to utilize him. And I think he's probably even more important for Raw right now. As you'll see when we go through this show, it didn't need a whole lot of help. AJ Styles and Chad Gable, great match.
Great match.
You love, you like wrestling? SmackDown got wrestling for you. And then afterwards, AJ puts over Chad Gable on Twitter talking about how great. Then, of course, my MVP, my number one, Carmella with James Ellsworth. Carmella cuts another Dynamite promo. She's straight up great on the mic, guys.
Yeah.
Carmella can cut a promo. Like, let's just keep it real.
And,
By the way, tweet Carmella and tell her that I was saying nice things about her. Because she seems to think she's always giving me side eye on social media, thinking I'm dissing her in some way. Tell at Carmella WWE that I think she cuts the best promo in the business.
Is this not a known fact that you are a Carmella supporter?
She seems to be confused by this. Well, I'm a huge Carmella fan. No, I don't think she always takes the appropriate means to get what she wants. But she, when you put that microphone in her hand, whew, Daniel Bryan comes out in mid-promo. I got to tell you, one thing I was struck by is that Daniel Bryan is still the most over guy in the company.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's not just yes either. It's about their actual excitement to see him. Also, does he always do what he did the other day? When he comes into the ring, go up on the outside and climb the turnbuckle and yes with everyone?
Yeah.
He always does that now?
Yeah.
So he's really still a wrestler who just doesn't have wrestling matches.
Yeah, basically. And he's getting much, much, much better on the mic too, which is why.
Oh, yeah, he's so good
if
now.
If he ever has the opportunity to wrestle again, sky's the limit.
Guys, let's take a moment. We've now gotten used to the fact that Daniel Bryan plays the role he plays. How interesting and unique it is to have a guy in his prime not be able to work, but he's still on TV every week and is still this over and this in shape. And we just don't know what his injury issue is and how deep it goes and whether he has a chance to ever turn. We all think he probably won't. But it's a fascinating story to see him be that good on mic now too. So he comes out, he tells, by the way, could that spell the end for Ellsworth?
No, I don't think so.
Ellsworth is going to take a 30-day suspension to come back.
Yeah, but then like what starts building in 30 days? Where are we headed in 30 days?
Right,
30 days we're headed into SummerSlam.
So he can come back for SummerSlam.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Unbelievable the run Ellsworth's on. Again, another great storyline. This guy from wrestling indies in Maryland who's gone for 30 days and we think will be back.
And he went from wrestling indies in Maryland like straight into
WWE.
A WWE
story.
Yeah. Like he wrestled the champion like months after he was just in Maryland. Like no Ring of Honor, no New Japan.
I want Ellsworth on the show. We need to interview Ellsworth because that story is insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. Naomi, what's the point of having Lana just get completely destroyed by Naomi?
Because Naomi is your champion, and Naomi, like, the champion needs to look like a champion.
I got it.
Especially against a contender who, like Naomi said just a couple of weeks ago, Lana hasn't even had a singles match.
But now she's lost to her three times. So, like, I love that she went over her in the match, right? And she looked really strong. And then she beat her again, and it was much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Why the third one? So now you're just now Lana's three matches into building her new character. Unless you're not planning on this lasting, unless now Rusev's back and this was just cute and she's going to go back to that. But my point is, of course, I'm enjoying that you're actually letting the champion get built up and be a champion. But like, go grab a Jobert. Like, go don't not someone who you're trying to build into someone else. I just find it odd. Like, she tapped out in 2 seconds.
Well, I mean,
unless she's going to change her character as a result of this.
Which she might. Tamina showed up, so maybe she has some muscle. But,
Yeah. Maybe that's what the thing was, that Tamina showed up at the end.
Yeah, but the fact is the fact that she wasn't ready. Like, I didn't think she was ready.
But how do you know? Do we know that that's actually what's happening? Because we actually thought she overachieved in her first match.
We did, but...
Greg, you're not unbiased in this. You're just happy because your black world champion dominated her opponent.
Oh, she absolutely dominated.
And so you're not... I don't even think you're looking at this from a clear perspective. You're thinking too much about being happy Naomi went over. We get it. I'm thrilled that Naomi's getting treated like a champion. But I'm talking about Lana. Lana is a character who... I assume you want to be around. You hyped up her appearance for 6 months.
Right, but in what capacity? Like, is she going to be like a cowardly heel, a complainer?
No, I thought we finally learned today that you didn't think about race except for Harley. And now here we are, and it's, you know, you're biased towards Naomi. And you hate...
In favor of Naomi, actually.
See, so it's not that you're anti-white, it's just that you're pro-black.
Yeah.
I've heard this before. It's often true. But anyways, either way, I hope they figure out what to do, because I'm assuming Tamina and Lana now will do something. But otherwise, what are you going to do? Just have Lana continue to tap? Otherwise, you just created a
monster, though. Like, maybe she needed that to be the catalyst to, like, light a fire in her. Who knows? But definitely, she definitely did.
What do you think about the glowing championship?
I like it.
I like the glowing championship. And now I really want to see, and we saw a little bit of it, except, you know what I didn't like? I didn't like that Naomi came out and talked for a minute and just handed the microphone to Daniel Bryan and stood there quietly. I know that's like nitpicking a little bit, but I want to get into Naomi and Carmella like starting to really go at each other. And where are we going with Naomi for SummerSlam? Now, you and I assumed and predicted that just knowing what it's like for the women's division, in all likelihood, Naomi would probably lose the title at SummerSlam. That's what we imagined.
Yeah.
But then if that's going to be the case, who's her rival? It's not necessarily Carmella. Carmella's not looking for a rivalry. Carmella's looking to sneak in and steal the title.
She doesn't need the rivalry.
So who does Naomi end up getting at this point? Tamina?
She asked for Charlotte. She says she wanted Charlotte.
So are we going to get that? Where was Charlotte this week?
Charlotte was not on this week.
At all?
So maybe she... I mean, I'm pretty sure they're doing... a tour of Asia right now.
Oh, so she was in Japan.
So she might have been in Asia somewhere.
Yeah, maybe she just wasn't there at all. Although Roman was there and made it back.
Roman was in Asia and made it. Oh, yeah.
I saw Roman in Tokyo.
Yeah, he was in Japan, actually.
Okay, we got to speed ahead here because we got a lot more to do today. AJ Styles, I really enjoyed the finish of the Battle Royal. And then we'll now get AJ and Kevin Owens again, which I have no problem with. Breezango continues to be mage in everything they do. And then, of course, the rap battle.
Yeah.
New Day versus the Usos in the best rap-related segment of all time on WWE.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
The first time it was used pretty well. You know, there's two layers to this. There's number one, my excitement for Wale getting to be a part of it because I know how much it means to him and he did a great job. But someone wrote me yesterday and said, it was Rob Pearson, who's designed many of our stuff, many of our logos, all kinds of great work for us. And he was talking about how great Wale was. And by the way, I mean, I've been putting over Wale all week. I will continue to. I hope they use him again. He was tremendous.
Yeah.
But I also said, let's be clear. Wale did a great job. But, I mean, Bear the Dog could have come out for how good the New Day and the Usos were. You know what I'm saying? That's what the segment was. They actually had lines that were incredible.
Oh, man.
In terms of where they were willing to go.
And Wale robbed, I guess rules are rules, so I understand, but the Usos definitely won that battle.
Oh, really? You're actually, of course, grading the real... You're really scoring this battle.
Yeah, you have to.
I did not even think about it from that perspective, SGG.
You have to.
Hold on, let me think about
that. And if I had a gripe, that is the only thing that was missing. Like, they had a host. The host was very mage. Everything was
done. But who were the judges?
But there were no judges, exactly.
By the way, that's how they should have utilized me. Judge.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, real quick. I actually would have New Day winning. Because I think the Xavier talking about only got popping after your wife brought you on Total Divas to me was...
Yeah, but was that enough to win? Because remember, Xavier Woods did that in round three, and then the Usos didn't get a third verse. So one, we don't know how they would have responded.
But listen, every member gets to go. Those were the rules that Wale set. I'm just following by what Wale's rules
were. Yeah, we don't know how the Usos would have responded.
But they didn't get to respond. The rules, according to Dr. Wale, were simply each member gets to go. Mm-hmm. So I'm basing on what I saw.
But you got to remember, though, in both verses, like, the Usos went back and forth, like, Kiss and Styles. So it probably would have been like...
Right, you're comparing the Usos to Kiss and Styles.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. When they went back and forth on the mic, you know, the punch.
Now, this is very hard for you, SGG. By the way, we need a nickname for Uptown Malcolm that also includes your pro-blackness. You know what I'm saying? We need like a little, we need to add a spice to the name. But anyways.
Uptown was the spice.
Uptown Spice, but that's just where you're from. I need something else.
Uptown Stat.
No, he's Uptown Malcolm. Juanito, you always jump in too quickly. You know, you can't just show up and instantly participate. I'm trying to think of what his pro-blackness name is, though. I mean, Uptown is included in that. There's a little bit of flavor there. There's a lot of history in Uptown.
Mm-hmm. There's some history in Malcolm, too.
And, of course, there's history in Malcolm. Maybe that can be included. You're getting enough from Malcolm. But maybe there's just a catchphrase we need. But how do you, the defender of all things black in WWE, how do you go Usos versus New Day? This must be very difficult for you.
Because... Uso, well, crowd reaction.
No, but I'm just saying in terms of who you root for.
Because, yo, if you like rap, you have to just keep it.
No, but I'm saying outside of the rap, Greg. I get it.
You're
saying based on rap alone, all fairness, you went with the Usos. But what I'm saying is in this rivalry overall, this must tear at your heartstrings, seeing the Usos and New Day go against each other.
Somewhat, but still, like,
you're team Usos, though.
The Usos.
Wow, because I remember a time when you were very loyal to the New Day. I really do. And then you turned on them.
No, I wouldn't say I turned on them.
Didn't I call and snitch on you and tell them that you turned on them?
You did.
I guess this continues in that. You've always been a fraud when it comes to the New Day.
Not at all. You have to respect the Usos' performance on...
What was your favorite line from the Usos? The Xavier Woods one obviously is mage.
Yeah, the Xavier Woods one was my favorite line.
I liked Kofi Kingston.
Yep. And that was the other thing, too. Like, E and Kofi, they did all right. But, I mean...
It was really about Woods.
Yeah, it was really about Woods. And, you know, Kofi said that the stop sign was a hexagon. That's, I mean...
You're not into that line.
Nah. Well, wow. See,
Man, now you're burying Kofi.
For one, the stop sign has eight sides, which makes it octagon, but...
is that true?
That is true.
All right.
So, you know, there's that. And then he says this right after he clowns them for dropping out of college, which, you know, at that line, even though I am an attorney, that line really didn't...
Like, who cares? You weren't...
Yeah, it didn't really...
It didn't hit home with you.
Nah, because it's like, college isn't for everybody, but then you can't clown somebody for dropping out and then...
And then talk about them being stupid and then get a shape wrong.
Yeah.
Got it.
You know, that kind of fell flat. And,
So what was the Usos winner for you? What was the one that for you makes them the winner?
That was the way they came at, they jumped straight out the gate saying, you know, Big E was so predictable and then, but the don't get rated R like your boy Xavier Woods, though. Just even like their delivery, the way they...
But let's keep it real, though. Why didn't they say, now I know why they call you ex-Xavier Woods?
Listen, we can nitpick however you want.
Maybe they should call him rated ex-Xavier Woods. Because honestly, let's keep it real. What they were referring to was not rated R. Not rated R. That joint wasn't even NC-17. Let's just keep it 1,000. So, anyways, that was a lot of fun, though. Congratulations to Wale getting to be a part of it. Awesome job. Awesome job by the New Day and the Usos. I really enjoyed that segment. But now we've done enough. We still have Finn Balor. So we absolutely, you know what, Greg?
Is it prediction time?
We've taken so long now. I think we got to do Finn as a separate bonus episode tomorrow. I just think it's the only option. What are your thoughts?
I think they would love that.
Bonus episode? Because we've already close to an hour on our own. So maybe...
I'm not opposed to it.
You know, you're just going to have to keep listening and see what happens, guys. Real quick, let's break down Great Balls of Fire. Can you please remember the predictions here? Because I feel like the last pay-per-view, I crushed it.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
I think I did.
I don't believe that.
I really think I did because I called Carmella. I really thought I bodied it, and it just seems like you go away whenever I...
I don't believe that's true, but we'll pick it up right now. We'll...
All right. Honestly, watch this. You're not going to believe what I'm doing here. We're skipping over. Do you have a prediction for Neville and Akira Tozawa?
Neville.
Is Neville ever going to lose?
SummerSlam.
All right. Then I'll go Neville, too. Enzo Amore and Big Cass. I'll go Big Cass.
I'll go Enzo.
Wow. You think Enzo's going to win the first match in this rivalry?
Yep. I'll go Enzo.
Wow. Okay.
What's going to piss Cass off more than losing to Enzo after he talked all this crap and beat him down?
Interesting thought. I like it. 30-minute Raw Tag Team Championship Iron Match. Hardy Boys, Cesaro. Sheamus and Cesaro. I'm going Sheamus, Cesaro.
I'm also going to go Sheamus and Cesaro.
Just don't think the Hardys need the titles, and I think it's probably time, the way they've been indicating, for them to maybe it's time to delete. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But make sure you go down.
Yeah.
Make sure you go down. Do not go up, because that's Heil Hitler. You got to go down for delete. Delete.
Yeah.
Delete.
Straight across delete. If you can, but definitely
it's
like...
It's too risky, though. I get too nervous people go up. Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks. Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, we touched on that earlier. I think we're both going Alexa Bliss.
But I'm looking forward to seeing them work. The Miz and Dean Ambrose. I'll go Miz.
I'll go Dean Ambrose.
Oh, my goodness.
Just because you never know. And I looked it up, though. They didn't really... I thought they wrestled a lot more this year than they actually did for the Intercontinental Championship. It's only been twice.
Only two IC title matches that you found.
Yeah, this year. Last year,
I'd love to get a total number. Maybe if someone gives me the full stats on that, we'll finally replace you as Stat Guy and get a real, Stat Guy Steve. We'll find a Stat Guy Steve. He'll come with the real stats. Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt. This is a tough one to call.
I'm going to go Rollins just because Bray seems to always...
I know, lose in big moments. Yeah. That's why I'll go Bray. And Roman and Braun. It's a great card.
Loyalty is big with me, so I'm going to go Roman Reigns.
Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. I think it's Roman's time, too. And then Brock, I'll take over Samoa Joe.
Wow. I feel foolish. I feel like I might throw you the victory with this one.
I'll take it.
It's going to be a good match, and I'm going to say... Samoa Joe gets the win, but Brock keeps the championship somehow.
Oh, okay. All right. Very interesting. Very interesting. Stat Guy, I want to thank you for doing the podcast yet again.
Thank you.
Next week, before I go to Greece, we will get together and we will recap great balls. Very excited for the balls.
I saw.
Yeah,
I saw the text.
I'm trying to decide how much I can get away with on the kickoff show by talking about my excitement for the balls. Burning balls galore. Great balls of fire this weekend. Looking forward to it. At Rosenberg Radio, at Stack Guy Greg.
Tonight, hashtag SGG Takeover.
Oh, I got to put this episode out tonight then. We got to put this out tonight.
Got to get this out, yeah.
So this has got to go up today, and we'll drop Finn Balor tomorrow.
Yeah, sorry for the people. We're gonna make you wait a little bit for Finn, but...
Well, but good news. You're getting another cheap heat tomorrow.
It's on the way, yeah.
Yeah, you just won. So tonight, the SGG Takeover at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
And come meet SGG and me, 7:30 at...
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings in Harlem.
Yeah.
Harlem. And you know what's going to happen when we walk in? Do you want to know? The second we walk in, guarantee, I'm going to look up. And I'm like, is that... Could it be? Is it... Although, just so you know, they're not talking about this uptown. They're talking about the Bronx, but still.
Yeah, it's fine. They filmed the video in Queens, so it's all right.
The video is filmed in Queens?
Yeah.
That's repug. Of course, you've been holding on to that the whole time.
At
Shea
Stadium.
Pretty, that bothered you back then, didn't it?
No, I didn't care.
Okay. Just a factoid
just,
you hold
it
on
just
to.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Also, guys, Greg, I'm about to show you a preview of what I got going on for this Foot Locker Puma SummerSlam.
Oh.
I mean, Mage. Now, speaking of Mage.
Stay Mage.
That's right.